Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We're grateful for your encouragement and support, and please remember that you can always visit us on our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. Now today, I want to look back to a time in Jesus' ministry on earth. There was a time when the disciples asked Jesus how they should pray. And in teaching on that subject, he introduced what we call the Lord's Prayer. Today, I would like to speak to you about one aspect of that prayer, the first petition of the prayer, Hallowed be thy name. Now, to enter into this topic, I'm going to take a section from the Old Testament book of Exodus, in which Moses is going to Mount Sinai, and he's going up there to have the tablets of the law replaced by God. And God speaks to Moses concerning his name. The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets, like the first ones, and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, Yahweh. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation." Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped, "O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes," he said, "then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us as your inheritance." So in this passage, the Lord has declared to Moses his name. And we're going to look at what it is to hallow his name in a few moments. But first, let's listen to this hymn. This hymn is sung by a group called the King's Heralds. And I recently started a small gospel quartet. And this is the kind of music we've been listening to as we try to learn new pieces. I really appreciate the sound and the faithfulness of the witness of King's Heralds. This song is called "Pass Me Not, Gentle Savior."
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Do
Prayer begins with these words. Jesus said to his disciples, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, when I was younger and taking confirmation classes in my church as I was growing up, we were taught around the area of prayer. And I remember being taught a formula for prayer. It was based on the initials of the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. And it reminded us that when we pray, we should include in our prayer adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. And the way I recall it, that teaching was all centered around the Lord's Prayer. And somehow or other, the Lord's Prayer began with adoration, and it had confession and thanksgiving and supplication in it. But when I look back at the Lord's Prayer now today, I'm not quite sure I can find that same order in it, especially since the Lord's Prayer is almost entirely petitions or requests of God. Some of them sound like praise, and some of them are certainly confession, but there's request after request. And the first request that Jesus suggests that we make in prayer is that we request that the name of God be hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. Now, when you're asking for a name to be lifted up, a name to be praised, a name to be honored and respected, you are in fact praising that name because you're acknowledging that it's worthy of all that you're asking for it. But what does it mean to hallow the name of the Lord? What does it mean to ask God that his name should be honored? This is an important, in fact, Jesus puts it at the start of the prayer. As we petition God our Father, we are to ask him to make his name honored. We're asking him to do something that is not being done sufficiently. We're asking him to do something that he is already engaged in doing. He is lifting up his name in the earth. The creation is calling out the honor of his name. And the angels in heaven are constantly praising and glorifying God. There's pictures in Revelation of our future in eternal life being awestruck and honoring God with our lives and with our praise constantly. It's a picture of joy for the believer and a picture of the fulfillment of righteousness when God's name is honored as it should be. But what about now? How can that prayer be answered, and what is it we're asking for when we are desiring it today? There's a need in our own lives to honor God. There's a need in our own hearts and minds to be a person who looks at who God is and sees that as worthy of all praise and honor and obedience and service. Moses is standing before God, and God declares his name, which we understand to be Yahweh, the name that he spoke in before the burning bushes, and the name that the Hebrew people had used to call upon the Lord through generations. The name, though, doesn't stand alone. God declares the meaning of his name as he proceeds before Moses. He says, "I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." Now there is God's character and God's holiness, God's grace and God's love expressed to Moses there in the Old Testament. What's the most important thing about God? In John's letter to the church, he says, God is love. And we think of that as a New Testament teaching sometimes. But here at the beginning of Israel's existence as a nation, as they leave Egypt and they prepare to go towards the promised land, as they're given the law, which describes how they ought to live in the freedom that they've received from God, God declares to Moses, "Here is who I am. I am a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness." This is who God is, and this is the name which is to be honored. This is the God above all gods. Now, in the context of ancient history, we can see that there are many names given to different gods that are worshipped. We understand that there are false gods in ancient history, gods that never existed but were projections of human desires and human understanding and speculation. And these gods were worshipped, but very often not because they were honorable gods, but because they were powerful. People personified forces of nature. People took a look at how humans were, and they projected humans extended infinitely or powerfully, and they created gods. They imagined gods. I mean, we're familiar from school encountering the gods of the ancient Greeks, Zeus and Hera, and the Norse gods, Odin, Thor, and Loki. We still see those characters figured in animations and movies and all kinds of storylines. And it's hard to imagine that these characters were actually worshipped in their day, that there was a belief in them. Now, even at the time of Jesus, the Greek culture was divided. There were people who didn't see the old gods as being worthy of worship. They saw them as capricious. They saw them as petty. They saw them as human characteristics, the worst human characteristics, given great power. They didn't honor those names except out of fear out of consequences. And many of the philosophers of the day had ceased to honor those characters. There is a God who is worthy of being hallowed, whose name is worthy of reverence and respect, because he is not a capricious God. He's not someone who is randomly acting out of selfishness or out of an easy offensiveness. Not someone who is indulging himself, but someone who is reaching out in love and faithfulness to the earth and his creation. This is the Lord who is to be honored. In the cultures around Israel, there were gods of fertility and gods of agriculture. There were gods of storms and gods of life and death. But again, these gods were feared in a negative way. They were appeased. Nobody tried to be like those gods. They simply tried to manipulate circumstances to make things work their way. In Israel, we see the development of a belief and an understanding of a God who works for his people, who loves his people and is himself worthy of being loved. The name of God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love and faithfulness. Now, we have to understand that there's more to God than just one dimension, and the Bible doesn't leave it unspoken. Some of the questions we have about God's harshness, God's sternness, because it does say in this very passage, yet God does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. God is honored also because he's holy, because he sees the damage that sin does, and he doesn't leave it to fester. He doesn't leave it to grow. In my background, in my undergraduate degree, I took psychology, and one of the things that I learned there was that the word punishment in psychology doesn't always mean vengeance. Punishment doesn't always mean getting your pound of flesh back. In fact, specifically in psychological theory, punishment and reward are used for training. And we do this with our children, whether we give them a timeout or whether we take away something that they've been enjoying, we punish them to try and get them to behave in a way that's more helpful, more appropriate, to get them to learn to restrain their impulses and to turn away from those behaviors that get them in trouble. We also reward them when they do well, and we praise them and we thank them for their helpfulness. And in that way, we train our children to behave in a way that is going to lead to a better life for them and for the people around them. And likewise, God says he's not going to leave the guilty unpunished. He himself will take the penalty of sin. But training us out of sin is going to take time, and he's not going to leave that work undone. I'm so delighted that God is going to work in my life to continue to train me. Sometimes training is hard. Sometimes we don't appreciate training. But when we look at the long view, we're glad that a coach or a teacher or our Savior has taken the time to treat us in a way that is going to lead us into a better living and a better morality in our lives. And in fact, these days we're very conscious of the way that the impact of a father's sin continues into his family. A mother's sin can continue to her children and to grandchildren and other generations. And when I hear that God is going to continue to train people out of sin for generations, I'm delighted. My children will learn a better way than I learned in my life. My children will continue to be in the hands of God, being trained through his guidance, through punishment and reward, through grace in every respect, in every dimension, that God is willing to get involved in our lives and deal with the sin in our lives. And for that, I'm very thankful. We'll look at this a good deal more as we can continue our program, but I do want you to listen with me to a singing of the Lord's Prayer. This particular version of the Lord's Prayer is from A Celebration of Hymns, and I encourage you to just take a moment to listen to it now.
Thank you.
Now, there's one further thing I want to say about hallowing God's name. What kind of person will we be if we hallow God's name? If we hallow compassion and grace, if we hallow patience and faithfulness, if we hallow steadfast love, if we honor God for his faithfulness, for his love towards the sinner, his love towards the righteous, his love towards thousands, and his ability to forgive, what kind of people do we become? Oh, when we hallow power, when we look around us, we make idols out of people who have exercised great wealth or power or have some amazing singing talent, we don't really do much about ourselves. But when we hallow God as he is in his glorious graciousness, we become different people. If we would spend time in our lives hallowing God as he deserves to be honored, giving value and paying attention to the things that God counts as most wonderful for all of creation to share, we will become the people that God wants us to be. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, one song says. Look full in his wonderful face. How much we will be changed as we hallow God's name. Today as we pray, I do want to pray with you the words of the Lord's Prayer. So let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to us today and every week. We appreciate your encouragement and support, and we do want to remind you to tune us in weekly, to check out our website, and if you have the opportunity, please support us with your gifts so we can continue to meet the one expense of our broadcast, which is the cost of the radio time. If you can please make out a check to 184 Rideau Ferry, Ontario, Good News Christian Ministries, we'll send you a receipt at income tax time. Please tell others about the program, and I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. May the Heavenly Father surround you with his constant, abiding, and accompanying love. And now would you listen again to the King's Heralds with me? Let the heaven light shine on me.
Let the heaven light shine on me. Let the heaven light shine on me. For lo is the way to the upper bright world. Let the heaven light shine on me. Oh, brother, bow so low. Oh, brother, you must bow so low. For low is the way to the upper bright world. Let the heaven light shine on me. Let the heaven light shine on me. Let the heaven light shine on me. For low is the way to the upper bright world. Let the heaven light shine on me.
Oh, deacon, you must
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.